The San Francisco music scene of the late 60s was a pretty male-dominated one. But towards the end of the decade, Berkeley, across the bay, was experiencing a sea change. Some of that change was generated by a band led by two women called The Joy of Cooking. Ed Ward, who saw them many times, remembers them today.
'60s, there was a rule. If you got to have a chick in the band, she's up front. In other words, you had a chick singer. She was pretty, maybe she banged a tambourine, but she didn't write the songs or play an instrument. Which might have been okay in some parts of the country, but not in Berkeley, California. By the end of the '60s, Berkeley chicks were different. For one thing, they didn't like being called chicks. For another, there was a folk scene out there that had gone in a different direction from the one on the East Coast, which had produced the likes of Bob Dylan and Joan Baez. The Berkeley scene was a lot looser, a lot more political, and a lot funkier. It didn't disdain straight-on country music, nor electric blues. And thus it was the two veterans of that scene, Tony Brown and Terry Garthwaite, met up in 1967 through mutual friends who thought they should form a band. Brown wrote countryish songs, while Garthwaite leaned toward a Red Hot Mama stage persona. Brown played keyboards and Garthwaite guitar. It took a while, but a band formed. David Garthwaite, Terry's brother, played bass, and there were two sources of rhythm, Fritz Kasten on a regular drum set and Ron Wilson on congas and other percussion. This lineup led naturally to a kind of jamming, with songs lasting for a long time, which pleased the dancers who started showing up to see them just fine. They cooked so hard that they stole a name from a culinary classic, The Joy of Cooking. Before long, The Joy had a regular gig at Mandrake's, a tiny club in Berkeley that booked everyone from solo folk singers to Rahsaan Roland Kirk. As more or less the house band, they opened for touring acts and also had their own weekly headlining gig. They also played around the San Francisco ballrooms, and this brought them to the attention of Capitol Records, who signed them in 1971 and put them in the studio in San Francisco to make their first album. Capitol released the band's reworking of bluesman Furry Lewis's Brownsville as a single, and it became a big hit in Boston, rising to 66 on the national charts. The Joy toured and found themselves filling clubs in Philadelphia, New York, and New Orleans, among other places. Everyone was happy with the debut, and in the summer of 1971, they went to Los Angeles to record the follow-up, Closer to the Ground.
The people everywhere going out of their minds, looking for
Terry's brother David was gone, replaced by Jeff Naber, and the sound of the album was fuller, more produced, with more overdubs. In short, it was to the taste of radio at the time. But in a story that was to become ever more frequent over the next decade, the executives at Capitol, who'd supported the Joy of Cooking's first record, left the company. And although the band was as good as ever live, and Tony Brown's songwriting was getting more prolific than ever, she wrote the majority of the songs this time, Closer to the Ground wasn't promoted, and there was no hit single. But a contract's a contract, so the next summer the band convened in their Berkeley rehearsal studio to record a third album, Castles.
Let love carry you. Let love carry you. Lean back, let love carry you along. Let love carry you. Let love carry you. Let love carry you. Lean back and let love carry you.
Far and away the band's best effort, with the best songwriting and singing and playing they'd ever recorded. Why the record company packaged it in a silver cover showing an industrial site and then failed to promote it at all is a complete mystery, but the lack of promotion, along with the band's being tired of touring, saw them fall apart. Tony and Terry gave Capitol a last album of country material to fulfill their contract, and the Joy of Cooking was no more. Today, Terry still sings on occasion around San Francisco, and Tony is a successful artist. The old Joy records have worn well, as has the idea that women and bands are far more than decoration.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin. That's Godzilla's pounding footsteps and horrific roar. We've learned that Akira Ifukuba, the composer who wrote the score for the 1954 Japanese monster classic, died earlier this week at the age of 91. We'll close with music he wrote for that film. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hirschfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. WHYY's executive producer of national radio programming is Elizabeth Perez Luna. Our theme music was composed by Joel Forrester and performed by the Microscopic Septet. For Terry Gross, I'm David Bianculli.